What's up? This is Movies on Up. Put on a happy face. I always put on a happy face when I am seated across from my co-host, Mr. Dave Becella.
Yep, let's put a smile on that face.
That is Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Put on a happy face is our tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet your guess to us at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and we choose you, we will send you a Movies on Up prize package. And that, my friends, ain't no joke. This week is our fall preview. It is kind of the kickoff to a season in Movies on Up that we enjoy the hell out of. This is a fun week to kind of take a look at everything that's coming out for the rest of the year. We'll talk a little bit of Oscar stuff, but this is our last episode about real movies for a while. And then we kind of go to the toy department for October, where we're going to do two episodes a week, one horror movie per week. And then we have a list episode that's going to be a top 20 that'll unfold over 4 weeks in October. So one list, one movie episode a week through October. And then in November, we kind of wrap up the year. We've got some of the fun stuff like the Uppies and some other episodes. We're kind of building towards our favorite of the year, which always drops in January. But I kind of feel like once we get to this episode, the rest of the year goes by really, really quickly. It's kind of a lot of fun episodes. It's some different stuff that we don't. It's not just a movie in a list, although that is actually what next month is. But next week is next month, and next month is October. It starts off with the wide releases on October the 4th, and the first is Todd Phillips's Joker, starring Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, and Zazie Beetz. Henry V, Elizabeth I, Richard Nixon. That is a list the Joker could join should Joaquin receive an Oscar nom for Phillips' Festival Darling. Each role has earned at least two Oscar noms for different actors.
I could do an episode about my thoughts on this movie. Like, I don't understand the point of it. I don't get it. I'm sure Joaquin is going to be fantastic. I'm sure he's going to be amazing. I have zero interest in watching him make out with Zazie Beetz. I love her. She's great in everything. Todd Phillips, I'm sorry, I can't really take it seriously when you're talking Oscar darling and Todd Phillips in the same sentence. And I realize that, you know, directors can change and stuff, but that's quite a ways to come. I don't feel
he's been nominated for an Oscar already.
What was he nominated?
Best Writing Adapted Screenplay, Borat Cultural Earnings for America, of America for Big Benefit, Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. Todd Phillips.
I don't think we need this movie. I have some negative thoughts about this movie. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll see it eventually. I don't understand the purpose of this movie.
I think I'm a little more bullish on this movie than you are. And it might be just because I don't care about DC Comics at all in the least.
It's not even that with me. I don't know.
I don't understand why they're making this movie. I don't understand how it fits into the larger world, if there is one. From what I gather, this Joker will never meet Robert Pattinson's Batman. But you know what? I don't care. I am interested in seeing, for whatever reason, Phoenix's take on this character. And as a standalone movie, I can take it as such. And I'm interested to see what they do with it. The real-life story of our next movie was certainly worth a laugh, and that is the limited release that week, Lucy in the Sky, directed by Noah Hawley, starring Natalie Portman, John Hamm, the aforementioned Zazie Beetz, and Dan Stevens. Supposedly loosely based on the Lisa Nowak case, if you don't remember the name, you may remember the diapers she wore during her 960-plus-mile drive from Houston to Orlando Airport, where she attempted to kidnap her ex-boyfriend's new lover.
It's an interesting story. I like Natalie Portman. I like NASA. And I mean, John Hamm and Zazie Beetz and Dan Stevens. Like, that's a cast with Noah Hawley.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting. I don't know what all you can do with it, but I'm interested. Like, the people involved have me to where, like, okay, I liked that story. I followed it when it happened.
Sure.
I followed up on it afterwards. It could be my compliance for this year.
And something like that could obviously happen only in Florida. And our limited release documentary that week takes place in Florida. It is Michael Beach Nichols's Wrinkles the Clown. Pennywise isn't the only terrifying clown to hit theaters this year. Wrinkles is a Naples, Florida-based clown hired to scare kids and prank people.
I like documentaries on silly stuff.
People are already scared shitless of clowns anyway. Wrinkles may give them cause to actually be afraid. The Addams Family doesn't exactly strike fear into your hearts. They are essentially kind of clownish in their behavior, and the animated version of that family comes to wide release in theaters on October 11th, directed by Conrad Vernon and Greg Tiernan, starring Oscar Isaac, Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz, Finn Wolfhard, and Snoop as Cousin It, because of course, that screams right on casting to me. It is an Addams Family animated movie, if nothing else. It makes my Halloween costume for this year super topical, and spoiler alert, yes, I am dressed as the Snoop Cousin It.
My oldest daughter wants to be Wednesday as well, so it'll be topical for her. I don't like the animation for this. I love that cast. I'll end up watching this when the kids watch it, but I will skip it in my heart.
Well, I guess we can share the same costume because I am Wednesday this year. It'll be scary to see how much box office 2 Will Smiths can drag up in Ang Lee's Gemini Man, starring Will Smith, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Clive Owen. Smith plays an aging hitman with contract on his life. A younger Smith hopes to cash in. Sounds an awful lot like Looper, but with bigger names. Maybe, I guess.
I'll see it. Will Smith. I like Will Smith a lot. It'll be interesting. But I feel like Will Smith is almost a waste of this technology, because watching the trailers, like, I have a hard time establishing between old Will Smith and young Will Smith, because Will Smith has barely, it would be like making a movie with Paul Rudd. They would look the
just
same.
Be different haircuts.
Yeah,
it's and the that's Independence all it Day haircut.
That's
and,
all it is. Yeah, yeah. So I feel like there's all this technology, but I feel like it's almost going to waste, because it's just a little makeup could make him look younger. But I like Will Smith. I'm interested to see him in this kind of role. I think it'll be decent. I really do.
Speaking of movies, it sounds like you may have seen before. That brings us to Jexy, directed by John Lucas, and Scott Moore, starring Adam Devine, Alexandra Shipp, and Rose Byrne. If you remember Spike Jonze's Her from 2013, imagine a comedy version of that, led by Adam Devine.
And if you think it sounds terrible, there's a trailer out to make you realize it's even more terrible than you think. It looks awful. Everything about this movie, I love Rose Byrne.
Yeah, I do too.
And I don't understand. I like her voice. She was the voice in Mother. Yeah. Skip this. Luckily, it's just her voice, so I can skip it and not feel bad.
Perhaps better fare in limited release that week. We will get the limited release of Bong Joon-ho's Parasite, starring Song Kang-ho, Lee Soon-kyun, and Cho Yo-jung. The writer-director of Okja and Snowpiercer returns with the Palme d'Or winner at Cannes and South Korea's entry for Best Foreign Film at the 2020 Oscars.
I'm super excited for when they do the American remake of this, because it sounds great, and I'm very excited to watch it. Now, I like Bong Joon-ho. I loved Okja. He's a really good director. I'll see this one. This is one I'll watch. I like, what was it, The Host? Was that him?
Yes, it was. Another Host and Parasite. Those two things go hand in hand. Almost like Jay and Silent Bob, the Jay and Silent Bob reboot hits theaters on October 15th, directed by Silent Bob and starring Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, Shannon Elizabeth, and a ton of people. If you can't see the traveling screenings with Smith, Fathom Events is hosting a premiere event on Tuesday the 15th and a Jay and Silent Bob double feature on Thursday the 17th. I believe that's how that works. I'll see it.
I will eventually. He's like a musician to me, because there were bands that I loved in like 2002, 2003 that they're still making music, and I hear like a new single or something, and it's like, oh, okay, they're still doing that. It's not for me, but it makes me want to go back and listen to the stuff that made me love them. That's kind of where he's at. I feel like I've grown up from the Kevin Smith stuff, and he's doing the same stuff now. Like, he did have that phase where he was branching out too, but I'll never forget how impactful those movies were for me at that point. So it's not to look down on them. I'll see it. I'm sure it's got some good jokes. The trailer looks super fan servicey. Yeah. I like Kevin Smith for that. Like, he doesn't care. He makes his own movies. Like, he got out of the studio system completely and of any directors out there, he is the one that's making exactly what he wants to make, how he wants to make it. So I respect him for that. I'm not going to rush out to see it, but I'll see it eventually.
And Jay and Silent Bob was the first of the View Askew-iverse that I saw. So had it not been for that movie, I'm not seeing Clerks or Mallrats, Chasing Amy, any of that stuff.
See, it was my least favorite of those.
I understand if you came at it from the other ones at first. But as a guy that was a couple years younger, Jay and Silent Bob was in theaters when I was in high school and able to go see those movies. And after I saw that, then I was like, all right, well, let me go back and watch this Kevin Smith dude. Turns out I really like those movies. And yeah, this may be like seeing a band that you like 25 years later just playing the same album that you really liked. But I saw that show last year with Third Eye Blind. It was great. I'd go see it again. In wide release that week, speaking of things that you'll see again, Joaquin Roning is running back Maleficent with Maleficent : Mistress of Evil, starring the Mistress of Evil herself, Angelina Jolie, Elle Fanning, and Chewie. Jolie's first Maleficent jam raked in $758.5 million worldwide. You wonder why there's a sequel. Roning is no stranger to the Mouse House. His last feature was the fifth and lowest grossing of the Pirates franchise with $172 million domestic.
There's movies that come and they make money and they don't really feel like it. I've never heard anybody talk about Maleficent. I've never seen Maleficent. To me, it felt like it came and went. I'm thinking, like, why is there a sequel? But then you see 758, and it's like, okay, I mean, Jolie, maybe. I guess she does have that pull. I like Elle Fanning, and I didn't realize Chewie was in this one.
Surprise.
That makes me somewhat interested, but I don't, I mean, maybe it's because I don't care. I don't know Maleficent. I know she's from one of the Disney ones, but
Sleeping Beauty.
Okay, yeah, see, I don't care. So maybe that's why, but good on them. I don't see it making 758 again, but shoot your shot, Disney.
I'd take the under on that. Jolie reprising a five-year-old role. Double that for Ruben Fleischer's reprisal of Zombieland. Double Tap, starring Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Abigail Breslin, Emma Stone. The horror comedy is back from the grave 10 years later. We're getting the sequel that we've all been hungry for. The original cast is back along with Rosario Dawson, Zoe Deutsch, Tommy Middleditch, and Luke Wilson.
I guess I'm in the minority here. I hated Zombieland. I don't understand it. Like, sometimes stuff's not for me, and I get it. I can understand the appeal of the Fast and Furious movies. I haven't watched them. They're not for me, but I get it. Shaun of the Dead is probably a top 5 or 6 movie all time for me. I love zombie movies, horror movies, comedies. A horror comedy is my favorite genre, probably. So, I mean, I feel like this movie should have been for me, and there's nothing about it that I liked. And, I mean, yeah, Zoe Deutsch, I love. Rosario Dawson, I love. But the trailers are just...
I did enjoy the trailer. I saw one before it. I can't say that I needed the sequel to this movie, but we're getting it, so I will watch it. I liked Zombieland. I can understand where it isn't for everyone. It did feel like a studio version of horror comedies, which typically the good ones are maybe more of the indie vibe. Shaun of the Dead, Leslie Vernon, those movies are hallowed ground around here. And Zombieland was more of a for the masses. Maybe it was just capitalizing off the zombie fervor at the time. But that didn't stop me from liking it, although, like I said, I understand it may not be for everyone, which is probably the safest thing you can say about Taika Waititi's Jojo Rabbit in limited release that week, starring Roman Griffin Davis, Thomasin McKenzie, Waititi, and Scarlett Johansson. It is the classic story of a young boy and his imaginary friend and his mother's house guest. That imaginary friend turns out to be a goofy version of Hitler at the height of Nazi Germany, and that house guest is a Jewish girl in hiding.
I feel like I've been super negative so far this episode. Like, it's, I feel like, yeah, this is where I turn it around.
The Nazis, that's what brings you out of your show.
I am so excited for this movie. I was excited about the idea, What We Do in Shadows, not even talking Thor Ragnarok, What We Do in Shadows, Hunt for the Wilder People. I love him doing this kind of stuff. Thomasin McKenzie was great in Leave No Trace, for that Deborah Granik movie from last year with Ben Foster. Roman Griffin Davis looks awesome in this. the trailer's great, and the gag with the friend waving at him and dropping the bazooka and shooting a building, like, that'll make me laugh every time I see that trailer until I see the movie. I'm so on board for this. I'm interested how it's responded, because it is a Nazi movie that centers on, it's a modern day Hogan's Heroes, maybe. It is centering on the Nazis, but it's a Nazi boy being raised to be a Nazi, trying to do the right thing. Like, he's
with his mom, who's
he's the one
resisting
that finds her. So I'm very interested in it, and I'm excited for it.
Both the limited releases I'm very excited for this week. I hope they come somewhere around, because I would like to see Jojo Rabbit. I'd also like to see Robert Eggers' The Lighthouse, starring Willem Dafoe, and The Batman, Robert Pattinson. Eggers is back with his follow-up to The Witch, with seemingly another dark, atmospheric, slow-burn horror gem,
which is in black and white.
Yeah. If you liked Hammer movies from the 1960s, here you go. Here's a Neo Hammer's still making movies. They made that one with Harry Potter. But I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, I mean, I liked The Witch, but this is one I'm not going to rush out to see. I'll see it eventually. I'm excited to see it, but I'm not going to rush out and look for it.
If you couldn't handle the fast-paced action that was The Witch, we have got a movie for you. From black and white to black and blue, that is Deion Taylor's wide release from October 25th, starring Naomi Harris, Frank Grillo, Tyrese Gibson, and Mike Coulter. Harris plays a cop whose body cam catches a group of dirty cops committing a murder. They then try to catch her to clean up the evidence trail.
That's the kind of plot that I'm into. I love Naomi Harris, and I love seeing her as like leading role and not just love interest or whatever she was in, Ninja Assassin. Okay. And then Frank Grillo, Tyrese, and Mike Coulter. I'm into it. I haven't seen anything on this movie. I haven't seen a trailer or anything, but I'm just, based on the information and the cast, I'm in.
Counting
trying to be positive.
Down
be
the positive. Days. Until Justin Deck's Countdown, starring Elizabeth Lahl, Peter Facinelli, and Talitha Bateman. Want to know when you're going to die? Well, there's an app for that, and Lyle's got it, and only has 3 days to live or figure out how not to die. Seems like there should be an app for that, too.
I was trying to stay positive, and that lasted 2 movies.
Three, maybe.
This just...
No, 2. You didn't really like
it. But I'm not for this movie. This movie's not for me. This is made for... It's a what?
Teenage
October,
date crowd.
It's an October 25th. It's for the high school kids to go out on a weekend and see. I get it. I saw Pulse opening weekend, and it was just me and a bunch of high school kids, but I love Kristen Dunst, and especially at that point in my life. So I get it. This is Pulse for this movie. That was killer electronics. This is killer app, whatever. It's The Ring, just with an app.
For kids that weren't born when The Ring came out. Speaking of countdowns, there has been about a 2-year countdown for our next movie, and that is Alfonso Gomez Rejon's The Current War, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Shannon, Nikki Holt, Catherine Waterston, Tom Holland. This is the Edison Westinghouse Tesla movie that had originally premiered at TIFF back in 2017 at the festival. The Weinstein Company bought the distribution rights and then got shelved after the whole Weinstein thing. It's now been snapped up by another company, and we're going to get to see it finally this October.
Like, we talked about this 2 years ago during the fall preview. The cast is good. I don't really like biopics all that much, but I mean, Tesla's an interesting dude. I think he's kind of the third wheel in this. I'll watch it when it's on, when I don't have to put any effort in, and I can just hit play on Prime or whatever.
If you didn't get enough Marvel actors in The Current War, we've got some more for you in Todd Robinson's The Last Full Measure, starring Sebastian Stan, Christopher Plummer, William Hurt, Ed Harris, Samuel L. Jackson, and Peter Fonda. An airman receives the Medal of Honor posthumously. Speaking of posthumous, this is the last Peter Fonda movie released after his death earlier this year.
This feels like, hey, let's throw a war movie out in Oscar season. I think we're seeing Oscar season, I don't think, is really a thing anymore.
No, I mean, it used to be.
We've seen it evolve. Like, we used to do fantasy film ball, but now if we were to do fantasy film ball now, that's tricky.
It'd have to start earlier because
there aren't your heavy hitters anymore.
No, I think they do kind of leak out as opposed to all coming out in November, December, which is good because it's you don't
have better
to.
For the year round.
Right. Better for the year round and better for the casual moviegoer who doesn't have to spend every Saturday and Sunday at the theater to see all the movies that are coming out. I think it's safe to say that our November 1st wide release is not necessarily going to be a heavy Oscar contender, although if it were, I guess it'd be Best Animated Film, and that is Aaron Woodley's Arctic Dogs, starring Jeremy Renner, Heidi Klum, and James Franco. A group of foxes or something must stop a mecha walrus from melting the polar ice caps in what is sure to be a real thriller. Now that I'm going negative.
There are a dime a dozen, these movies, and the John Cena one seemed to get thrown out, and it turned out to be okay.
Yeah, Ferdinand.
Yeah, like it turned out to be okay, but...
There's a certain kind of Oscar movie that we talk about where you have a really good performance. A lot of times it isn't a biopic, that the rest of the movie doesn't really stand up to. And I think that seems to be the case with Casey Lemons' Harriet, starring Cynthia Erivo, Leslie Odom Jr., and Joe Alwyn. Erivo, one of the standouts in her limited time in Widows, gets a bit more time to shine as the titular slave-turned-abolitionist and founder of the Underground Railroad.
I like her.
We do.
And Leslie Odom. Yeah. I'm not big on biopics, but this is one that I'll watch when I can. I'm not going to sit down and watch it at the theater, but I'll definitely watch it.
This screams good performance.
Oh, yeah.
Is Erivo's chance to put herself in an Oscar.
I really like her.
I imagine
Leslie Odom.
She is not throwing away her shot, which I was so fucking trying to get in there. Just trot all over it. Also in wide release that week is Edward Norton's Motherless Brooklyn, starring Norton, Bruce Willis, and Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Norton plays a PI with Tourette syndrome, tasked with solving a murder in an adaptation of a 1999 novel of the same name written by Jonathan Lethern. Brooklyn marks the second time Norton has been behind the camera. He directed Keeping the Faith with Ben Stiller and Jenna Elfman back in 2000.
Is that only his second? I thought he directed Leaves of Grass.
I do believe it is just his second time.
Okay, Leaves of Grass. He played twins, and I think it was directed by the other guy in it. But yeah.
By the other twin.
I like Gugu Mbatha-Raw. Edward Norton's career took a weird turn. I don't know what happened. He seemed to be doing cool stuff, and then... he just stopped and started doing not cool stuff. And so, I mean, like an Eddie Norton, Bruce Willis 2019 movie doesn't scream like, oh, go see this to me. Whereas an Eddie Norton, Bruce Willis, like 2003 or 2004
1997.
Movie. Yeah, yeah, sign me up.
Tim Blake Nelson directed Leaves of Grass.
That's the one. He was in it. Right. He was he was like the brother or something.
Speaking of early to mid-90s, the entire band is back for Terminator Dark Fate, directed by Tim Miller, starring Linda Hamilton, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mackenzie Davis, and Natalia Reyes. The Deadpool director takes over the helm of the Terminator franchise, and for the first time in 28 years, we get the whole band back together. Cameron is back on board as a producer, along with Linda Hamilton, and Eddie Furlong back as John Connor.
I've been pretty negative. I'm excited for this. Yeah, I want to see Mackenzie Davis kick ass. Yeah, I want to see Linda Hamilton come back. Ghost Rider dude, what's his name? Gabriel Luna. He's the Terminator now.
Yeah.
He looks pretty dope, but disclaimer, I liked Genesis.
Genesis.
I thought it was fine. Jai Courtney aside, I liked Terminator Genesis. So maybe this... franchise is just, I can't say that though. I can't say like, oh, this franchise is so close to my heart, because F3 and Salvation, interest in either of those. So it's not like it's like, oh, I'll just eat up anything Terminator. I like Genesis. I'm excited for this.
I think the reasons you liked Genesis is why you're giving Dark Fate a chance, because that was Sarah Connor. That's Arnie the Terminator. We're going back to that, but these legacy sequels.
Here's the thing.
It worked out well for Halloween, so I have high hopes for this one.
Here's the thing with Terminator, though, is they have a bad habit of trailers ruining things. Trailer ruined the John Connor twist in Genesis,
where he was a robot.
And this one, how cool would it be, that scene where Gabriel Luna, the second one, comes up on the hood of the truck? How awesome would that be to see for the first time watching the movie?
I guess you have to establish...
that's an awesome moment.
That he's the bad Terminator.
Yeah.
And he's going to have some kind of powers, because they all kind of do.
But I just feel like that's maybe you don't need an awesome... Unless there's a better moment that they are holding off, I'm into it. Sign me up.
That brings us to the wide releases of November 8th.
Come and with me if you want to see it.
Our first wide release from this week is from a director that we never sleep on, and that is Mike Flanagan's Dr. Sleep, starring Ewan McGregor and Rebecca Ferguson. Based on Stephen King's novel from 2013, Flanagan attempts to reconcile King's original 1977 novel, The Shining, and Stanley Kubrick's 1980 film adaptation in this new chapter. And if anybody can manage to do that, it might be Mike Flanagan.
Yeah, this is one I should be more excited for. I like Ewan. I really like Flanagan. I think that's the Rebecca that I like. But I have no connection to The Shining. I'm indifferent to The Shining. So
my only connection is to the movie.
I don't have a connection to either. I'll see it. I'll watch it because of Ewan and because of Flanagan. But this is one of those that I feel like I should be more excited about. And I mean, I haven't watched the trailer. It's been out for a bit. But maybe when I start seeing TV spots for it, this might be one that's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm into that.
A lot of Stephen King stuff going around nowadays.
The Tall Grass trailers on that's coming to Netflix this month in October.
Yeah, obviously It just coming out a couple weeks ago. So at this point, pretty much everything is going to get optioned. And for a story that I don't really need to see any more from, you can get me interested with Mike Flanagan and or Ewan, and having them both is certainly a step in the right direction. Another director we like an awful lot is Paul Feig, and he will be directing Last Christmas with some folks that Dave likes an awful lot, at least one of them. Emilia Clarke, better known as White Chick with Dragons, and Henry Golding.
Or Linda Hamilton. Or not Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor.
Yes, she did not play Linda Hamilton. She did play Sarah Connor. Henry Golding, Michelle Yeoh, and Emma Thompson. Thompson co-wrote the screenplay featuring a love story set in London at Christmas, and you bet your ass a ton of George Michael jams.
This looks cute. This looks really good. I do like Henry Golding.
I know you do.
But the lyrics to the song are "Last Christmas I gave you my heart."
They are.
She mentioned she was sick last Christmas. In the trailers, nobody else talks to Henry Golding. So it's obvious he's dead. He's an angel in this movie. Like, the trailer makes it 100% obvious. The title makes it obvious. I hope I'm wrong. I'll still see it. I like her, and seeing her in this, like, Anne Hathaway part is just not reliable. She's similar to Anne Hathaway in Colossus.
Sure.
Colossal, which was one of my favorite Anne Hathaway movies. Michelle Yeoh from Sunshine owns a Santa shop. Like, I'll see it. I like Paul Feig. You know, I skipped the last one, even though it had Anna Kendrick in it. I tried to watch it, and I just didn't. And also had Henry Golding, too.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's on Hulu now.
Yeah, I started to watch it. I'll finish it at some point, but it didn't hook me. This looks really, really cute. They look like they have great chemistry, and I just feel like I'm going to be sad when it's revealed that he's dead, but his heart lives on inside her.
Unless she threw it away the very next day. I think that's what happens in that Taylor Swift song. If you're not into two hot folks in a rom-com, why don't you check out a group of hot folks, and they are Firemen Playing with Fire in Andy Dick's comedy starring the aforementioned John Cena. It is the John Cena time of year. Keegan-Michael Key and Johnny Legs. A group of firefighters meet their match with some rambunctious youngsters. Fickman, no stranger to WWE champs, having directed The Rock in The Game Plan and Race to Witch Mountain. He's no stranger to Dave, having directed one of his favorite back-to-school movies, the seminal She's the Man.
He's in with Nickelodeon.
He is.
And this is a Nickelodeon movie. So this is very much a kid's movie. This is a dumb, stupid, not
like
just
The
a
Game
kid's
Plan. It's the movies that The Rock was making at
that
time.
Yeah, and it's John Cena getting that Nickelodeon crowd, which he has like wrapped around his finger. Negasonic Teenage Warhead is one of the kids. Judy Greer, I think, shows up in this.
Not one of the kids.
No, not one of the kids. Although she could pull it off. She's awesome.
I'd like to see her try.
It's one of those where they got really good people, but it doesn't look great. But I can understand why they're doing it. So I like Keegan-Michael Key. I want to see him in more movies, just not this one.
A guy you do not like from a Deadpool movie leads Roland Emmerich's Midway, and that is Ed Skrein. He stars opposite Patrick Wilson, Luke Evans, Aaron Eckhart, Nick Jonas, and Mandy Moore. Representing the turning point for the Americans in the Pacific Theater, Midway was by all accounts a tremendous victory for the U.S., and almost completely destroying the Japanese Navy.
It's almost like Roland Emmerich remaking Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor is what it feels like, which I think sums it up pretty much. And that should explain my interest in the movie, I think.
Remaking a sequel to Pearl Harbor, essentially. Midway takes place not long after that. And that brings us to the midway point of November. November 15th in wide release that week is Anthony Mandler's All Rise, starring Jennifer Hudson, Kelvin Harrison Jr., and Jennifer Ely. It is an adaptation of Walter Dan Meyer's 1999 book called Monster, where a teen accused of murder writes his experiences in the justice system in the form of a screenplay.
This is one of those that I think is a sneaky Oscar. Jennifer Hudson already has the win. Yeah. The subject matter screams Oscar.
Best adapted screenplay.
Yeah. I'll see it eventually.
Yeah. Sony is hoping for another monster $40 million opening from Charlie's Angels, directed by Elizabeth Banks, starring Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Breslinka. Not a reboot, rather a continuation of the TV series and the McGee movies of the 2000s sees the Townsend Agency going worldwide.
Sign me up. I'm in. Elizabeth Banks is in it. Kristen Stewart. I'll watch in almost anything. Naomi Scott from Power Rangers.
Multiple Bosleys.
Fantastic. Multiple Bosleys. I think it looks great. I wasn't a fan of the early aught versions.
The McGees.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of those. Even though they're successful. Up my alley, like they're movies I should like, this and I'm really, really, really excited for.
I feel like our next movie is, on the surface, it sounds like it should be an Oscar movie, but
I feel like it's one of those that's released as an Oscar movie, but it's just not.
It's like one of those Ron Howard movies, and I'm thinking of the race car Ron Howard movie, which wasn't as bad as I make it sound out to be, but you've got James Mangold. You've got Matt Damon. You've got Christian Bale in Ford v. Ferrari. Damon's Carroll Shelby is tasked with creating a car that can beat Ferrari at the 1966 24 Hours of Le Mans race. To find out if he does, you'll have to sit through 2.5 hours of this movie or Google it.
When is this? This is November?
Yes.
November 15th. I feel like this trailer has played before every movie I've seen since like April. It's astounding to me that this movie isn't out yet because I feel like it's played before everything for the past year.
I'm not sure if I've seen it or maybe I've just blacked it out. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe you've just seen it. So that's your pee break during previews.
Yeah.
Might as well call them pee views for me.
Wow. I don't think you would take a pee view with our last movie from the 15th.
Don't give it credence. Don't justify.
It's Bill Condon's The Good Liar, starring Ian McKellen and Helen Mirren. McKellen plays a con man with conflicting feelings over his last mark, played by Helen Mirren. It's a con movie.
Yeah. Condon's good with old people. McKellen and Mirren are really old people. It's one of those, it's probably a slow burn. Probably not much happens, but it's probably really, really good. And I like McKellen. He's probably fantastic in it.
Is it Sir and Dame? So like
Dame Helen Mirren, Sir Ian McKellen.
So are they like two knights? Or like how does that work? Is it like a lady knight? Is that a dame? Mm-hmm. Or are they different things?
Yeah. Dame is a lady that got knighthood. They got knighted, essentially. Well, it's the
lady equivalent.
Yeah.
British royalty on up. That'll take us to November 22nd. Wide releases, Brian Kirk's 21 Bridges, starring Chadwick Boseman, speaking of the king, Sienna Miller, and Taylor Kitsch. Chadwick Boseman closes all 21 bridges in and out of New York to put the city on lockdown to find a pair of cop killers.
It's another one. It just seems like a throwaway action movie, but you put somebody like Boseman in there, who I really, really like. I liked that Revenge of the King or Return of the King, whatever the Netflix,
Black Panther.
The Netflix one he was in a few years ago. I like seeing him in stuff that's not a biopic or Black Panther. Like, I like seeing him in other stuff. We mentioned the Face Off remake. I want Chadwick Boseman and Chiwetel Ejiofor for the Face Off remake. That would be my cast. It's one of those where it's just a throwaway action movie, but it's up my alley. These are the kind of movies that I get excited for, and they're either really good or they're just eh.
And Taylor Kitsch, I believe he won an award. Is he the guy that's won the Worthless Worthington and the McAvoy?
He might have.
He might be the guy. that's yeah. done that. Maybe he'll add Oscar for his turn in 21 Bridges. I wouldn't hold my breath.
He won't. He won't.
While Bozeman goes neighborhood to neighborhood looking for killers, things look much nicer in Mariel Heller's neighborhood. And that is, of course, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks, Matthew Reeves, and Susan Calcini Watson. Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
He wasn't nominated for Captain Phillips?
Oh, no. We'll get to that.
Oh.
It's hard to believe, but Hanks's last Oscar nomination.
I'm reading ahead.
Yeah, you are reading ahead. Spoiler alert. Last Oscar nom was for Castaway 19 years ago. No noms for the post Captain Phillips or Charlie Wilson's War. Captain Phillips, I did believe he got a Golden Globe for. Okay. Not an Oscar.
Because Barack Obdy won.
Yes, won. He is captain now,
yeah.
If you'll remember. Does he break that streak here?
Oh, I think so. I don't think there's any way he does. I think this is one of those that just gets thrown a bunch of stuff. It gets a Best Picture nom. It gets a Best Actor nom. I think it's one of those that just gets thrown everything, but isn't a real contender.
It really only wins the Tom Hanks one. Because it's been 20 years since they've given
or
America's
costume.
Sweetheart.
It'll win this in costume, yeah.
Man, can you imagine winning the best costume and set decoration for just like a fucking
and
cardigan and the set from PBS? Man, I think I can handle that. Dave's going to have to handle bringing his kids to see Chris Bucks and Jennifer Lee's Frozen 2, starring Idina Menzel, Kristen Bell, Jonathan Groff, Josh Gad. For the first time in 6 years, Anna and Elsa are back.
I still don't think I've seen the first one all the way through. Like, I've seen most parts of it, but then every time I sit down to watch, it's like, oh, I forgot. I didn't know those little elf people were in this, so I don't know that I've watched it from beginning to end, but I'm sure I've seen the whole thing. I don't mind. It was fine. Let It Go was a banger. I like Kristen Bell. I like Jonathan Groff.
Josh Gad.
And Idina Menzel. My four-year-old, who she's never seen Frozen. She's obsessed with Frozen. I don't know how. She's obsessed.
She's got sisters.
She's obsessed with Anna and Elsa, but she's never seen it. So I don't know where that like came from.
What are the two of you doing when everyone else in your house is watching Frozen?
We haven't watched Frozen in a long time. I mean, that movie's 6 years old.
It is.
They've moved on. Like, they still like Elsa and Anna.
How about that? To make you feel old. Like, Frozen is 6 years old. You have kids.
I have two kids
that did not
even
see
around.
Frozen. But somehow, Nolan probably does not give two shits for Frozen.
Oh, he would. He just likes does watching he? Stuff. He All just right. likes watching anything.
Well, it's a little chip off the old block there.
Yeah.
Our next director is certainly a guy that has had the knives out for him for a couple years, at least, and that is Rian Johnson. His new one, Knives Out, premieres on November 27th. That is a Wednesday. It stars Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Ana de Armas, Jamie Lee Curtis, a ton of people. Johnson channels Agatha Christie for this snappy whodunit.
Yeah, this I'm super stoked on. I haven't watched the trailer. I don't want to.
It's good.
I'm a trailer guy. Like, I like watching trailers. But this is one where it's like, I know I'm going to see this. I want to know as little about it as possible. That's how I was with Midsommar.
So you don't
want to
know whodunit?
No. That's how I was with Midsommar, and it paid off. Like, I didn't watch anything about that, and it paid off. Like, that's how I want to be with this. Like, I don't want to watch anything about it.
Johnson's a guy that I bang the drum for a lot prior to him getting hired for Star Wars. And I was super stoked that one of my favorite new up-and-coming directors got hired for a franchise that I absolutely loved. As it turns out, in my opinion, that didn't go really well. But this is Rian Johnson getting back to what I like about Rian Johnson movies. So I think I'm going to like this, and I think a lot of people will too.
I really liked Looper and Last Jedi. And he did a lot of Breaking Bad stuff.
He did, which was very good as well. You'll notice there's not really any Netflix movies on here. You may not notice that.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually had that thought a few weeks
Speaking
ago.
Speaking of Breaking Bad, of course.
Yeah, I had that thought where it's like, is this the year we add Netflix movies? Because you got the Scorsese one, and then I forgot
the
about
Irishman.
It. It was the thought that I had, and then I never brought it up to you. So now that's the first time I thought about it since then.
It's tough. We certainly talk about Netflix movies, and you had your Summer of Love movies. A lot of them were on your list.
Set it up.
Some of them end with the best of the year. We may even have some Netflix movies on there. I guess when I think of the preview episode, I do think of actual driving to the movie theater, especially this time of the year. So I did focus on theatrical
releases. And Netflix is doing that with The Irishman. They're releasing it in theaters, what, November-ish? And then it comes out on Netflix like 3 weeks later. Mm. So that's the first time they're doing that, which Amazon has done.
Yeah, they did it with just this summer with the Late Night. Yeah.
Late Night just went up last week. Yeah.
Also that week, Melina Mansoukas's Queen and Slim, starring Daniel Kaluuya, Jodie Turner-Smith, Chloe Sevigny, and Flea. Kaluuya and Turner-Smith take us from first daters to fugitives, all in the span of a couple hours.
It's like a Bonnie and Clyde.
Yep.
That looks like it gets dark. I like him a lot.
Bad Daniel Kaluuya is pretty dope. It'd be nice to see him.
Yeah,
break
I
bad
wanted
in
to see
movie.
Him in Widows more. Like him in Widows was awesome, but it was very limited screen time. So I like to pretend this is kind of a prequel, and this is how he became the guy in Widows.
Fair enough.
Unless they die at the end, and that goes out the window.
I did not see The Boy, so I don't know if the doll died in the first one, but we can see more from Brahms: The Boy 2 on December 6th. That is directed by William Brett Bell, starring Katie Holmes, Ralph Ineson, and Owen Yeoman. Bell and Brahms are back, this time to scare Katie Holmes. Bell's first entry earned $64 million worldwide on a $10 million budget. That is a recipe for Brahms: The Boy 2.
Why is it now? Why isn't this a month later? This is an early
January
release.
Brahms: The Boy 3 comes out in January.
This is the kind of movie that you throw out first or second week of January. And
yeah, although in fairness to January, we've been getting good horror movies in the first quarter.
I saw that. I did see the first Boy because it was Maggie from Walking Dead, wasn't it? Lauren Cohen. I did see it, and I couldn't tell you anything about the boy. I think it's a dude. Like, I don't think it's the doll. I think it's a dude that lives in the walls. I think the shift. I think that was the thing at the end, was that he's a boy that is dead, but he's not dead. The mom just said he's dead. So, I mean, I'm sure they expand on that and explain it, make it make perfect sense in the second one. The boy mythology.
If you've been waiting, I liked the Lego movie a lot, but I'd like something just a little bit watered down. Boy, have we got a movie for you. It is the Playmobil: The Movie, directed by Lino DeSalvo, starring Anya Taylor-Joy. She's got to eat. Jim Gaffigan, you got to afford Hot Pocket some way, and Gabriel Bateman. It is the German Costco Lego movie.
There's some movies that come out that the kids will see, and it's like, oh, I want to see that. I'll tell them, like, oh, we'll
just
go
watch
see.
Watch Lego movie.
No, I'll tell them there's three types of kids' movies. It's like, oh, we'll go to the theaters to see it. We'll watch Lego movie. It comes to video.
Lego movie 2.
Or, yeah, we're not going to see that one. And it doesn't.
Playmobil.
Yeah.
I got it. There are three types of movies: Black Christmas 1974, Black Christmas 2009, and Black Christmas 2019. And that premieres on December 13th, Friday the 13th. Black Christmas, starring Imogen Poots, Lily Donahue, Elise Shannon, and Carrie Elwes. The second remake of 1974's slasher piece, starring Margot Kidder. A Friday the 13th release date for a slasher movie always warms the cockles of my heart. Holiday theme should help here. I imagine this is going to make a decent amount of money just because of those two things.
You know what? It looks decent. Like, it doesn't look like the 2009 remake, which was just one of those generic slasher remakes that were coming out at that point. This looks decent. This looks like a horror movie that there's thought put into. And Imogen Poots, I think, is really... Watching 28 Weeks Later, I hated that movie, but I remember thinking, like, that girl's going to be a star because she was really, really good in that. And I'm not saying it's going to be great. I think it's going to be better than expected.
The first one I think is real good, and you're right. I think the 2006 version was just, let's take something good, modernize it. They didn't do as well with the plot. This one does seem like it's very much girl power, which I think there was a fair amount of in the Margot Kidder one. There's some video game power in our next wide release, and that is Jake Kasdan's Jumanji: The Next Level, starring Dwayne Johnson, Jack Black, Karen Gillan, Nick Jonas, Awkwafina. 2017 surprise hit brings with it all the pieces back looking to possibly improve on that $404.5 million Welcome to the Jungle Hitting theaters about a week before Star Wars should help the opening for Next Level. Welcome to the Jungle premiered a couple of weeks after the last Star Wars film, so they get a little bit of a head start this time.
This is one of those that I feel like the sequel will do better, because I feel like when Jumanji came out, when the last one came out, it was like, oh, do we need this? Like, it
took
whatever.
A while to build
But then
some
word
momentum.
Of mouth, like it got momentum and then people saw it. I had no interest in seeing it in theaters. I checked it out when it came on whatever Stars or whatever. It's enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. And then you had Danny DeVito and Danny Glover to this one. Now Jack Black is Tank and not the girl, and The Rock is Danny DeVito and Kevin Hart is Glover. It'll be fun. I think it'll make a lot of money. I think it'll make a lot more money. I think it'll hold over decently well.
I would agree. It's the family movie of that week. You know, you've got your slasher movie, and in limited release, you've got what may be an Oscar flick, Hidden Life, directed by Terrence Malick, starring August Diehl, Valerie Pochner, and Matthias Schoenaerts. Diehl plays an Austrian priest jailed by the Nazis for refusing to fight in WWII. Another Nazi movie this year. This one's obviously of a more serious tone. Malick's a dude that he doesn't make a ton, but what he makes generally does do well this time of year.
Yeah. But I feel like Malick is one of those where it's like, oh, every time he releases one, it's like, oh, this is an Oscar. And
yeah.
It doesn't really make a dent in that. But
sometimes it's reputation, but yeah. No reputation well enough earned. We've earned our way to December 20th's Bombshell, directed by Jay Roach, starring Charlize Theron, Nicole Kidman, Margot Robbie, John Lithgow. This, I do think, will be an Oscar movie. Lithgow gets to play real-life creep Roger Ailes in the Fox News sexual harassment scandal. Megyn Kelly plays herself, though she's credited as Charlize Theron. And good for Megyn Kelly.
I will see this, and I'm interested in this, but what hurts, Loudest Voice was on Showtime this year. And Russell Crowe, for the career he's had, this is a career-defining performance. He became Roger Ailes. So anybody who saw that, I love Lithgow, but I cannot see him living up to that, just because Russell Crowe was so good. But The Loudest Voice was the Roger Ailes side of it.
Right.
You know, Gretchen Carlson was a big part of it. She was played by Naomi Watts. I believe that's who Nicole Kidman's playing in this. I believe she's Gretchen Carlson. Charlize Theron, with some magic makeup, looks just like
Megyn Kelly,
and then Margot Robbie's in a role that was made up for the movie. But the supporting cast of this, there's so many people in this movie that are awesome. So I'll see it. I'm excited for it. I wish there was some distance between it and The Loudest Voice, but I'll definitely watch it, and I think it'll be fantastic all around.
I could use a fair amount of distance between myself and Tom Hooper's Cats, starring James Corden, Judi Dench, and Jason Derulo. Hooper returns to musical theater, directing pop stars in Cat Makeup. After winning Best Director for The King's Speech, Hooper hit the high notes for 2012's Les Mis.
This has Idris Elba, Taylor Swift, James Corden. There's so many good people in this. Jennifer Hudson, and I don't get it. The trailer was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. The look of this movie, I don't know. I get it's not for me. I've never understood Cats. It's just a bunch of cats introducing themselves to see who wants to die, pretty much. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And them looking like this is terrifying. And there's a lot of furry in me. And even I'm like skeeved out by this trailer, which it should be like right up my alley. I don't know. I think it'll make a lot of money, though. I'm just really confused by this movie.
There is no trailer for our next movie to confuse you. By the time we record this, we're about 2.5 months, give or take, from Star Wars Episode IX: The Rise of Skywalker, directed by J.J. Abrams, starring Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, John Boyega. It's finally wrapping up the Star Wars saga. They released another teaser that has a bunch of footage from movies that is not The Rise of Skywalker, certainly playing up the nostalgia aspect.
I'll see it.
I will see it. I will see it opening day. I have not gone down quite the Dark Jedi path where I'm going to be boycotting Star Wars and watching Cats instead.
I loved Last Jedi. I did.
You did.
I'm excited. It's nice to have Abrams back. This cast, you're telling me. This cast, I love, I adore. I'm interested to see where it goes. Star Wars has been such a big part of my life, my whole life.
Yeah.
So this has like an era finality to it, which I don't know how I'm going to deal with, how I'm going to handle. Because, I mean, we got plenty of Star Wars coming. We got the Weiss and whatever from Game of Thrones. They have Rian Johnson as theirs. The Mandalorian. Yeah. Like,
we got the Obi-Wan series.
There's going to be Star Wars Clone in Wars. My life, but this is the Star Wars. So,
yeah, I mean, not really since 83 with Return of the Jedi did you get any kind of finality. Revenge of the Sith led in pretty well to A New Hope. By the time the prequels came out, even I was not naive enough to think that they weren't going to make more movies because the money is always there. But and they still will make more Star Wars movies. It'll just be different to see once Disney has been able to wrap up the Lucasfilm Star Wars, what Star Wars may look like in the next couple of years. We know what a Ben Falcone and Melissa McCarthy movie looks like, and we are getting one in December. It is Super Intelligence, also starring Bobby Cannavale and Brian Tyree Henry. McCarthy's appliances become sentient and appear to have plans on world domination. Only McCarthy can stop it. I'm down for a Falcone-McCarthy joint anytime.
Yeah. I've seen nothing about this.
Me either.
I'm excited. I like her. I love him. They write her very well. He'll have a cameo, I'm sure, that will steal the show. I like Brian Tyree Henry. He seems to be in everything now.
Just about. Although I think we've only mentioned his name once.
Oh, well, last year he was in. He was had a hell of a year last year. I'm excited for this.
We have mentioned Will Smith's name a couple times. He's got a movie coming out on Christmas, and that is Spies in Disguise, directed by Nick Bruno and Tony Quayle, starring Will Smith, Tom Holland, and Rashida Jones. Smith's super spy gets turned into a pigeon and still manages to save the world, probably.
This is another one that where I feel like I saw the trailer for it like 2 years ago. Like, I feel like they released the trailer like years ago. I don't know if it just kept getting delayed or what, but I feel like I've seen stuff for this movie a lot.
Didn't care for it when I saw it then either. In a classic example of counter-programming, if you are not a parent with little children, perhaps you'll see Greta Gerwig's Little Women, starring Saoirse Ronan, Emma Watson, Florence Pugh. She's a young lady that's been in a lot of things this year.
She may be a front runner for an Uppy this year.
Is it the Worthless Worthington? No, I know it's not. I know which one it is. Gerwig and Ronan reunite in this adaptation of the Louisa May Alcott novel.
I'm sure this will be good. I don't have any attachment to the Little Women book. Gerwig, I really liked Lady Bird.
Yeah.
So
I liked that because I hadn't already seen it.
Yeah.
You
know? So I think it'll be good. It's just Little Women. Not for me. Yeah, it's just. Yeah.
Yeah. In limited release that week, another period piece, and it is Sam Mendes's 1917, starring George MacKay, Dean Charles Chapman, and Mark Strong. Mendes co-wrote the screenplay, along with Christy Wilson-Karnes, about a pair of British soldiers who must deliver a message across enemy lines to save their troops from an ambush during WWI, based on a story that Mendes's grandfather told him as a child.
It's a war movie released in prime Oscar season.
Directed by Sam Mendes.
Yeah.
Tend to like his stuff, so be down to watch this.
I like Mark Strong.
I like Michael B. Jordan. And perhaps in prime Oscar season, he and Jamie Foxx, Brie Larson's already got one, so it's no big deal, can get an Oscar nom for Just Mercy, directed by Destin Daniel Cretton.
He's the one directing Shang-Chi, isn't he?
Perhaps, but Shang-Chi doesn't come out this year, so that's why I don't know. It is based off a 1988 murder case. Jordan works to overturn the conviction of Fox's Walter McMillan due to some real racist bullshit.
Yeah, he did Short Term 12, too, which
Brie Larson
should have been nominated for an Oscar for that. And he is doing Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. I mean, that cast, him, I'll see it. These kind of stories, like,
yeah, I mean,
I hope this sneaks in and gets some Oscar
that
love.
Does seem some Oscar bait. It'll probably be for the two actors, and that's it. because that's how those movies tend to work. But Michael B. Jordan, he's great. I like to see him in like really feature actory movies, and that'll be nice to check him out in right at the end of the year. Any specifically that you're really looking forward to?
I mean, Knives Out.
Yeah,
obviously the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Terminator sticks out. Like, in Charlie's Angels. Like, I don't know why. Those, like...
I don't either.
I don't know why, but those, I really want to see those.
I do want to see the Joker, and I always... Some people just like to watch the world burn, and sometimes I like it when a movie like this... I think a little bit of James Mangold, Logan. How I desperately wanted Jackman to get an Academy Award nomination for that movie, and he didn't. Because I guess you can only be nominated for a comic book movie if you're play the Joker. So we'll see if Joaquin can do it. I just kind of root for genre movies that I think might have a chance. The Black Panther, Wonder Woman, before them, Logan. So I would just like to see that kind of try and crash the party. That would make me very, very happy. Knives Out looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm interested to see the Legacy sequel and Terminator. Star Wars, it's for me a bit like watching the Browns. You go in hoping to not be utterly disappointed, and that's basically where I'm at there. And I have no more faith in Star Wars at this point than I do in the Browns, which I don't really know what that says.
At least your season didn't end already.
Technically, no. Next week, you can have faith that we will be back with our Spooktober month of Halloween movies or scary movies, our month-long celebration of Halloween. We're going to have a distinctly female flavor to the month. We're going to be doing our top 20, what are we calling them? Like
Scream Queens,
Final Girls,
Survivor
I think.
Girls.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate because it will be based on the character, not necessarily the actress. So we're going to break that down. We're going to have 4 episodes, 5 girls each. We're going to do a co-list so it won't be confusing to listen to over the course of a month.
And then usually, like in October, we always try to do a movie episode as well. And in years past, it's usually we revisit horror from the past.
Yep.
2019 has been an awesome year for horror so far. So we're going to do movies from this year
that are also going to have some pretty strong female performances.
Us and Midsommar.
Those are two for sure.
And then a couple others.
Yeah. So to find out what
TBD.
Those are, they probably won't be the first movies we do because we'll still be thinking about it. But check back next month. We have a lot of fun doing those episodes, as evidenced by the fact that we do 2 a week. We are not big fans of extra work.
Or work at all.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't even like the bare minimum.
And the bare minimum, as you're all aware, is 1 episode a week. So we're going to double our effort, give you maximum effort for next month, the month-long celebration of October. But until then,
keep it up.